His landlord refused to give him his damage deposit back because the apartment stunk like fish. He couldn't get it out of the drapes and the carpet.
Oh, God.
He had the place cleaned. He's like, you're not getting your damage deposit. You baked fish into my condo. Like, it's in the drywall. It's in everything.
It's actually hysterical.
We're going to have to burn this place down.
And I said, what did you do? And he goes, I ate nothing but white fish for 16 weeks. And he cooked it all in the house.
Oh, it's such a... Dude, imagine his clothes. Because, you know, like, in a small place like that, that's going right into his closet. He stunk all the time.
What was his social life like? Yeah, no one liked that guy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding. I'm one of your hosts, Big Ron Partlow. Of course, I got Dusty Hanshaw and the producer, Scott McNally. Remember to like, share, subscribe, comment, and...
ring the bell.
Ooh. There we go. Remember, IamMutant.com. Get your IsoSurge, get your all in, and everyone should get on the gear.
Lots of gear.
That's the subtle main message for the entire existence of this show. Is like, you know, if you just boiled every single question down to just one answer, get on the gear.
Get on the gear. Yeah.
Get on the gear. Dusty our 20, gear, Big Ron 20. The gear. Yeah, the gear. Yes. No bathtub gear, though.
No.
Only
good Canadian.
Only properly. Yeah, good Canadian gear. That's another message. High standards up in Canada. We got good manufacturing standards for the gear up here.
It's very key.
So I remember coming through customs one time. I got pulled coming home, and the customs guy goes, you're not bringing any standards home, are you?
Yeah.
And I was feeling sarcastic, and I just laughed. I go, people don't bring standards back here. People come here to get their standards. He just looked at me, and I was like, eh, what you
do? Now you know.
So I know there's an elephant in the room, Scott. We have to address it.
We're addressing this now. The room.
I didn't actually mean to like refer to him as an elephant. It's a metaphorical
it's too late.
Elephant.
It's too late.
We got a new co-host. Yay!
Yeah. When Dusty logged on, I made a joke that I thought I was watching an old iForce video. And
immediately.
He has shaved the beard, and he looks like I'm literally having like flashbacks to 2014.
This is when we met. I wanted to take us back.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm all confused by the hand tat and the mutant logo. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a crossover event. You know how they do that with like two television shows? Yeah. This is a mutant iForce crossover.
Right. Right. You're going to squat six plates pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
want to get strong again. And I was like, well, we got to start at the bottom then. Here we go.
Back to where you were.
Yeah. Let's talk about the leg clip that you put up on Instagram. The other day, Dusty. Yeah, was that yesterday?
Yesterday.
Today's I'll see if I can drop that in post-production here.
Yeah. We'll get that in post. That was like crazy. It was like you were full blast again. What's going on?
Well, I haven't been able to use an Atlantis Pendulum Pro in a long time.
That's the new one,
so we
too.
Started with it was great. And it wasn't even one thing for anybody who will see this in post-production. The only reason it's wobbling is because the gym's not done. So like when I got there, AJ was moving the equipment so I could use it into a row because he had just stripped the floor yesterday. Oh. Had carpet in there. So that's I stripped funny. The floor, pulled the glue, said I could come in, slid them all in. So any wobble you see is actually just because it's not secured to the ground at all. And I just wanted to test welds, do the right thing.
Yeah, you know. Definitely tested that Cybex squat press as well.
Yeah, early oh, tested. Man. But the Cybex hack.
It's.
Yeah. I mean, you can put your feet all the way down. I only did five plates a side. I did pauses on that one yesterday.
Yeah, well,
but it's like
a heavy machine.
That thing is so smooth. Like, Nikki doesn't know a lot of these pieces because she's never really trained at a great gym.
Hack squat.
So I was like, now you understand why I say they're not the same. Because not having a hack squat for like a year, I was just happy that Crunch had a hack squat. I wasn't even concerned what it was.
Right.
But then you get back on a nice piece and you're like, yeah, this is different. Yeah. So I'm excited for that gym. It's probably going to be AJ's hoping to be open in 2 weeks. So I'm hoping for 2 months because I just don't think he knows quite how the good old boys work down here. And
just first gym.
You know, they're going to come through and be, well, I'm not going to use words I can't use on the show, but less than fair, I'm sure. I'm hoping he understands the old white envelope policies that help these things.
City officials.
you know, yeah, just those code. Things happen. And anybody who doesn't know that is a little slow. But yeah, it was awesome to go in there. But it was also kind of funny because it wasn't like a real workout, even though obviously I used real weight. But it's like, you know, we're talking about the gym and things that are going on. I'm like, I should probably do a set. And then you go do a set. And then you're like, well, what do you plan on doing with memberships? And then you're doing that. And then I'm like, how do we make this a mutant gym? And then I should probably do a set. So it was good. But I'm looking forward to it. I really just asked him to build this so that Ron could come visit me.
And I think how we far have is a it reason from your house? Do you have a
11 minutes.
Now if you're gonna
nice.
Okay. I asked him to build it close. I don't want it to be far. You know me. I don't want to move out of my area.
Well, your car hardly has enough time to get cold from with the AC. You know what I mean?
Oh, like yeah.
By the time you get there, it's like you're just set.
That's the fast trip. Just getting right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to like it though, because he literally, as he's telling me about the gym, I was like, oh, your gym was born for mutant on a mission. He's put over 50,000 miles on his truck going to get equipment, and every piece of equipment he has he's putting a thing on the wall of a map to show where each piece came from.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, oh, so you did this for Ron. That's perfect. He'll be down soon.
That's cool. Yeah. That's just right. Built right for the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Well, it's good to know. Good to know. Plus, you know, I really want to come see where you live. You know,
yes.
Want to come part see of the sanctuary away from the old life in Scottsdale. I want to see how things have changed for you. You know. So I mean, I'm very happy. Okay. What do we got, Scott? What are we doing? We got a first topic.
Yeah. So we like this question, and we're going to kind of we're going to make our own answers for it, I think. So I'll put the question up here, and then you tell us what we're talking about, Ron. The actual question was, he said, I love a back and chest session. Move straight from back exercises to chest exercises, and then change the exercises. What are your thoughts on this? So he's training chest and back together. You don't hear about that very often right now.
Right. So he's doing them like at the same time, like he's doing... He's not necessarily supersetting. He's doing like bench press and then bent rows and then incline press and then pull downs. And like he's like doing, you know, going back and forth. That's, I guess, in my current stage of training, you know, where I'm at in the gym, I'm not in there. Like I don't think I'm going to get any bigger or stronger. You know what I mean? I see the value in having fun in the gym. Like more than ever, it's very, I'm a lot more open-minded than I used to be. Like, you know, everything was about maximal hypertrophy and maximal like bang for your buck and all that stuff, which I preach to the guys I'm trying to help get big and strong, obviously, and be bodybuilders. But there's a lot of value in just having a lot of fun in the gym and getting, you know, crazy pumps and feeling great in the gym. And it makes me think of some of the early splits I did when I was in high school, like where you just pull them out of a Flex magazine or out of the Arnold Encyclopedia, you know? And I remember chest and back was like an Arnold thing. Like I remember getting the Arnold Encyclopedia, the original one, and looking at the split, and it was like 6-day split, twice a day, you know, that old school stuff, right?
Yeah.
And chest and back were together almost all the time. It was like a big, you know, a big thing, chest and back together. So I remember going in and, you know, one day was a superset day. So you'd superset chest with back and you do like 20 sets of chest with 20 sets of back. Like you're in there for like an hour, just blasting both. And then the other one was like separate, like you train chest and then you train back, you know?
Right.
And chest and back together, when you're like in high school, you feel huge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's that like you're blowing out in the front and you're blowing out in the back. And I don't know, I just, you know, sometimes, I mean, I got a training partner now who's in there, you know, we're trying to win shows and make the gains now. So we're really serious. But the days when he's like, you know, there'll be the odd day where he works late or something, and I'll just screw with my workout and have some fun now. I'll mix things up, do things different. And it takes me back to those old splits, you know, those old high school splits that were just a blast, you know?
Completely.
So, Dusty's like, I don't know what that is. I just do.
Yeah, I heard so many words, and I was like, "Wait, so there's options on how you can go into the gym?" I had no idea. actually, it's funny because I think what changes that I like when I hear these questions is the fact that my answer is simple: if it's working for you on any level, then yes.
Yeah, Any kind of progress in the gym is good.
Because I feel like that's the only thing that the enormous amount of information has caused in the world is like paralysis. Like the amount of people that will send me a question, and it'll literally say something like, I've been getting really good results doing this. Should I stop?
Yeah.
Should you stop getting really good results? Trick question. I don't know what's happening. But it's funny because there's a need for approval beyond the results. And I'm like, listen, I do not care what anyone thinks when they watch a training video of mine. I'm like, well, it's working. So that's it, you know, and I think that's how they need to look at it. So for me, like when I went to the gym, what we used to enjoy, and I know Ron and Scott probably both fall on this, used to go to the gym with no plan other than killing yourself. It was like, I want pure annihilation. What are you going to do? Everything the gym has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you used to do incline, flat, decline, press and flies.
Yeah.
And then we should do some dips.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it was like, and then you get done and you go, should we do arms?
We should.
And then the only regulation was how busy it was.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It was like a deciding factor in what you did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the funny thing is when we all look at that, I'm not saying that that's a good decision. But I would also be lying if I didn't say I got great results at that stage in time because my hormones were off the charts. I was new to the gym and I was growing. So it's like, could you argue it was overkill? Sure, but there wasn't no result or I would have altered. And again, like you were saying, Ron, it was fun because it was like a thing. You know, I mean, especially with the boys, you get in there and somebody's like, man, I'm pretty tired. You're like, oh, you're tapping? Oh, you're one of those, huh?
Yeah. I'll never forget. I was training shoulders with my old training partner, John, in Australia. And we were training with our buddy, Rick, who is this crazy Maori doorman that we used to train with. And, you know, we went in, we did dumbbell shoulder press. We did side laterals. We did rear delts. We did like an upright row front raise superset thing. And we were training very Dorian style. So it was like warm up, one or two sets, next exercise, right?
Yeah.
And we finished the upright row front raise thing at the end. And then he goes, let's go do that machine press. And in my head, I go, oh, well, I've done my volume.
Right.
Like I did my, that's how many sets I have planned for shoulders, right? That's my volume. That's the Dorian split. I'm done my volume. And I go, oh, well, because, you know, I was kind of at that stage where we were training so hard that I was afraid of doing an extra set, like I'd overtrain, right? So we're blasted, you know, and I was pressing like the 125 dumbbells then, and like I was strong. And he goes, well, we're going to do this machine press, going to go do a big strip set. And I go, oh, I'm good. I've got my volume. And he just looks me square in the face. He goes, all right, if you don't want to get any better, that's cool.
What are you going to do? You have to do it then.
He just walks away. And I was just like, oh, well, he's bigger than me.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to. So I just followed him over to the machine, did a big strip set on the machine.
He knew what he was doing.
Got an even better pump. Yeah. And I remember thinking to myself that day, I'm never going to think that way again. What was I thinking?
Right.
I was afraid of one more set. These guys are animals.
Yeah.
This could be too much.
Yeah. And then the guy we trained with, Ricky, he was like the type of guy that would come train with us and hang with us no problem. And then he'd go to boxing class for 2 hours and just spar. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And like skip rope for like 30 minutes and run stairs and then come back the next day and squat four plates with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I thinking? I'm such an idiot. These are animals.
Yeah. I feel like the overtraining thing is so over analyzed. You know, I mean, it's Ron, remember when we were in LA doing the Meeting on a Mission at Gold's Venice, and Dana does a full back workout with Regan Grimes.
Yeah.
And she gets done and she walks over, she says hey to us, and then she looks at Rob and goes, what are you guys doing? And what were they training?
Rob was warming up chest.
Yeah, and she goes, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like
she did an hour and a half with Regan.
Yeah. And just jumped in and was just right on place. And it's like, look at her. She's recovering fine. She's also not loaded to the gills like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You're like,
She's a specimen, so there is that. Yeah, we all have her limitations. But she didn't have, you know, she was good for what, for where she was at. She could keep going.
Yeah.
But there is a, Rob, there is, like, a certain amount of that. Crazy. There is a certain amount of that, though, where I really do think that although a specimen, she also trained her mind and body to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. A lot of
times we're saying, can't. I've got a client I'm working with now that he's like, you know, I know if I just ease in a little longer. I'm like, bro, we've been easing for months.
Oh,
Jump.
Yeah, yeah.
You are right.
You're going to be sore as hell for a couple of weeks, and then it'll be less. You know, and he'd be like, he'd go to the gym. He's like, ah, my legs are still a little sore. I'm like, okay, well, do them anyways. It's time. Like,
yeah.
If you, you know, it's like I said in one of the videos that somebody actually tagged me in recently. You know, I was talking about how people are complaining about their low backs get really tight. And I'm like, well, that's easy. It's not strong enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
I'm going. Yeah, exactly. And I remember also I said to him, I go, that was a big shoulder workout. He's like, yeah, just wanted some more blood in there. That was his own. That was the only rationale for adding that strip set, you know?
Yeah.
Pump wasn't quite good enough. We had a good workout, moved some good weights, good sets, but I just wanted more pump.
There was Dusty, more,
you know?
Dusty, you make a really good point about that, people not being conditioned for it. I was just telling this story on the, I think it was the last Blood, Sweat, and Gear. We got asked the question, like, what was your most hardcore? When did you feel like the most hardcore in your training split? And one of the things I thought of was when I started training with Shelby, his workouts were way longer than mine were. Like, he was doing like 2.5 hour workouts. Sometimes it'd be like 3 hour workouts. We didn't have air conditioning in the summertime. It was hot. You know, we had huge intra-workout drinks too. It was like when highly branched cyclic dextrin first came out, we were pushing it up to like 200 grams.
Drinking like milkshakes while you train.
Yeah. You
with Hydro Pro Whey in there.
Yeah. You literally had like a gallon jug just to get that much powder mixed in it. But I remember like the first 6 months, I felt like I got in a car wreck every workout. But after that, like, I adjusted, and for the next like 5 years, it wasn't a problem. We do like these 2.5 hour, 3 hour workouts, but then somebody, and it was normal, but then somebody from out of town would come to train with us and they would just get smoked because it was something that we had to work up to. And had I not done that, and had I not like stuck with it for that extended period, I wouldn't have ever figured that out.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Fun times. I know. Sometimes you just get too, like, I think my number one mistake, I've said this many times on the show, is I was too dogmatic.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have the principles that you stick with, and you got to have a way that you train so that you can like standardize things and gauge progress.
Yeah.
But, you know, then there's like these other things that you overly worry about, you know?
Agree.
And like another, I remember another time I had a client, he's like, I missed hamstrings yesterday because he got like a emergency phone call or something. You know what I mean? Like stuff that you got to come pick your kid up like right now, you know, like one of those things, you leave know, happens kid, to people.
Train.
Yeah. Hams. Leave the kid. Right. So, leave kid train ham. Yeah.
You can wait an hour.
Yeah. So he's like, I didn't get hamstrings in yesterday, but like today's arms. And I like, what should I do? And I'm like, just do hams and arms.
Yeah, there you go.
And I remember he looked at me like it had never occurred to him.
What? You don't arms. Do that. You don't do that, though.
I'm like, he was trying to like figure out how to get a DeLorean to go back in time.
So yeah.
So he could do hamstrings yesterday.
Yeah. You know? And then, you know, another thing, too, is you get, I've had this, too. You have a client who will say, like, hey, man, like, I'm supposed to do, you know, arms today, but, you know, the hotel gym just has dumbbells to 50 and nothing else. I'm like, then just do, like, 10 sets of alternate dumbbell curls. Like, I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? Like, you just, like, you know, drop the rules. Drop the rules. Yep. You know, so don't get stuck on shit.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. We got some over-unders. What are we doing?
Oh, we have so many overrated underrates. Guys, we haven't done that in a freaking long time. So we put out a thread on Instagram asking for over and underrated. This is so just to recap, what's the rules here, Dusty? How do we do these? You got to remind us.
Well, I mean, it's really simple. First off, speaking directly to Scott, you have to pick a side. Is it overrated or underrated?
There's no accurately rated.
It's not a thing.
I need a t-shirt. We need t-shirts to say accurately rated.
But and Ron brought this into play, which I agree with, which is the fact that how we gauge it is based on how things are currently. Like, how's the world view this?
Yes.
You know, because, like, for example, if I was looking at In-N-Out Burger,
which I think is on the list,
place, it's great food, but do I think it deserves a line around the building all the time? To me, that's overrated. Very simple. Yeah. And people would, right. I could see somebody call me out when I'm in line. They're like, you said this is overrated. I'm like, I didn't say I didn't like it.
Yes. All right. So we got a bunch of, we got it. So we have to be concise. We say why, or we say what we feel, and then we explain why concisely. We'll start with an easy one. Just jumping in with some bodybuilding foods. Whitefish.
Overrated.
Definitely overrated.
Underrated. Completely underrated.
I love it. Underrated. He's taking a strong stand right out the gate.
Scott, it's changed. He's like,
about anyone's feelings. Saying you two are idiots.
You two are wrong.
Well, you're the one guy. So now you get to go first.
Yeah. Because everybody has just said, you know, like, oh, fish skin thins the skin. It's completely a fable. It's just another protein source. Look at the macros good voice, on how. By the way. Thank you. That's the way I read their voices when I read those messages online. Here's the deal, is that it's an extremely lean protein source. And I guarantee you, if you're eating chicken five times a day and you're trying to get lean, do me a favor for the next month, switch it all to light fish and watch what happens. Watch how hungry you get. Don't even watch how you look. Watch how quickly your stomach empties out. You're going to be starving 30 minutes later.
Oh, it's a calorie drop, all right.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do not disagree with your stance.
There was a time that it was highly praised, but I think anymore, my thought is it's, you know, people underrate it.
One of my problems
they're overrated.
With one of my problems
underrated?
With whitefish.
I don't know.
Underrate.
Thank you. Yeah.
One of my problems with whitefish. I have no problem with whitefish. I ate some whitefish when I dieted. I ate more traditionally go to egg whites if I had to go fat free. People sometimes they go all whitefish. And they don't realize that they start to stink like fish. And you get those guys that come in the gym and they do one warm-up set. And I'm like, oh my God, you stink like fish. Like it's coming out of your pores. Like it's rotting in your guts or something. And that's a dangerous way to live. I couldn't imagine being that guy. Yeah.
He's a lonely man.
His wife is not welcoming him home, if you know what I mean.
Oh, so yeah, man.
Be careful. You don't be that guy.
All right.
I have to tell you this because it's so bad, but I had a client that was that guy and he also chose the wrong fish for him. But yeah. So I go over to his place, and I would love to say her name, but she'd kill me. But she's still a friend of mine. He is not. They used to be married.
Was it the
and
fish?
I actually, it should have been. I got out of my truck in their driveway at one point, and I could smell it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's another rule. I don't cook fish in my house.
No,
you I used to buy a George Foreman and put it outside and grill. And at the end of the prep, I threw the entire George Foreman away.
That's a Jake Collier.
I know a guy, his landlord refused to give him his damage deposit back because the apartment stunk like fish. He couldn't get it out of the drapes and the carpet.
Oh, God.
He had the place cleaned. He's like, you're not getting your damage deposit. You baked fish into my condo. Like, it's in the drywall. It's in everything.
It's hysterical. We're going to have to burn this place down.
And I said, what did you do? And he goes, I ate nothing but white fish for 16 weeks. And he cooked it all in the house.
Oh, it's such a dude. Imagine his clothes, because you know, like in a small place like that, that's going right into his closet. He stunk like, all the time.
What was his social life like? Yeah, no one liked that guy.
He did awesome at the show because he didn't have any friends or any women.
Yeah, easy to focus.
He couldn't even go buy a car because no salesman would talk to him. There was no decisions he could make poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
How about Waffle House? Overrated, underrated?
Never been.
Really?
Drastically
I heard they
underrated.
Have great fights, though.
Exactly why. Exactly yeah. why. I've heard that you actually have to fight to get a job there. They have to make sure you know how to use your hands.
What's your street cred like?
They beat exactly. you in. They beat you in to get the job there.
They actually do background checks to make sure you've been arrested for assault. Yeah.
Can you handle an angry 250-pound woman at midnight?
Yeah.
Very key. Very key.
Yeah.
How about knee and elbow sleeves, lifting belts, bands on machines, wrist supports, lifting shoes? It's kind of,
way
too much. So let me kind of hit these. Lifting shoes are tremendously overrated.
Yes.
As we watched Jay Cutler train legs and shocks a couple weeks ago. they're like hugely, hugely, hugely overrated. And then training in bare feet, massively overrated. Yeah, there might be some
study. We went to both sides of the spectrum just there.
Yeah, just completely.
Just wear your normal shoes, please.
Your footwear is hugely overrated when it comes to working out. Like the average person's leg, chest, back workout, they don't need special shoes. Are you a 1,000-pound squatter or something? Are you Olympic lifter? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Knee and elbow sleeves, I would say most things are overrated, but that doesn't mean I don't like them. I like some elbow sleeves. I like some knee sleeves, and I like a belt, but they're overrated. Some people can't live without them. Some people can't. Oh, I can't train. I forgot my belt. I'm like, what are you talking about? Just train. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I might like those things, but I would consider them overrated.
What about
is that fair, Scott? Or is that just my way of saying accurately rated without saying it?
It kind of was. Yeah, it kind of was.
Quasi middle of the road.
No, I think when I look across and going back to what we said in the beginning, I think nowadays a lot of it is actually, so for example, the bands on the equipment. I think it's overrated because it just became popular. And so everyone's doing it and there's no thought process behind it. So by default, because so many people are doing it, it's overrated. Whereas when I look at squat shoes, for example, which I do wear, but it's for a reason. I have poor ankle mobility. So I will see people on machines and they're barefoot and then they're coming up on their toes and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're actually doing the exact opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really knowing your own way. So I will definitely say in general, across all boards, what is on or not on your feet is overrated for most people because they don't know why they're doing it. Yeah. I'm barefoot and I'm like, you know, I wear Chucks when I do cardio and somebody, of course, will tell you that's terrible. There's like no support, no nothing. I'm like, they don't hurt my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. My answer. They don't bother me. So that's what I wear. I bought really nice cardio shoes before and then my feet hurt. And I was like, oh, I don't like these. And I'm sure it's because it's putting my body where it should be or something. I don't care. I don't
want to. It's way past that point now, thank you.
Yeah.
You're old, man. I had to shave to pretend I was young. Let's knock this off.
Yeah.
I would say if my knee hurt really bad, then knee sleeves are not overrated. But there was a time that I would have like just ripped the crap out of my knee so that it didn't bother me. And now I realize, oh, well, maybe like something's really tight in my quad. And if I were to take the massage gun for 5 minutes, that might actually fix the problem.
I'm on the verge of a huge rupture. And
versus just like wrapping it real tight. There might be a better way. So
yeah, just tape it. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How about pre-workout stim/stim-free? I don't know if Little John got the concept here. So this is like an either or, I think.
Well, both are overrated. There's my answer.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can have, you know, I mean, quite often I'll just have like some coffee. But does that mean I'm having a pre-workout? It's just like a budget pre-workout, like a poor man's pre-workout. Like, I don't know, any pre-workout at all. I like some kind of pre-workout. Like, but yeah, so I don't need a fancy one. Like we just got this new one. I just saw this new one come in. It's like 450 milligrams of caffeine per scoop.
Oh, God.
Jeez. That's a no for me.
I'm like, no, damn. For me. Like, yeah, like people got to be careful, man. Like, it's not all about stim. There's a lot more going on.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to say the reason that they're overrated across the board is exactly what you were saying about leaving the gym if you can't drive to the gym without a pre-workout because you've put it in your head that it's going to be a bad workout, I'm like,
yeah.
Well, have you eaten well today? Did you stay hydrated? Did you get sleep last night? Your workout will be fine. You shouldn't know a difference. And a prime example that we did in reverse for Ron in Germany, he did not use any caffeine, and we had just traveled.
Yeah.
But he took a scoop of the, we'll call it Mind FK for the show, that Mutant makes. And he's like, man, do we have coffee in here? And I was like, we got to go. Like, our Uber arrived. We go to the gym. I was like,
damn.
And he was in his head a little bit. Like, I didn't get, I mean, he's already tired, and he is, from lack of sleep and lack of food and everything. Next thing you know, the workout, we annihilated the workout.
I had the best leg workout I'd had in months because my hip had been bothering me, and like my hip turned out to be pretty good that day, and Dusty and I just firing and we just wrecked it. And afterwards I was like, man, I didn't have any stim, but I had a really good non-stim pre-workout in that Mutant FK, right? And I was very impressed. I don't know if
it's quite non-stim.
75 milligrams.
Is that what it comes out to?
Yeah,
so it's quite low.
Very little in it,
Compared to 450, you know, that's like...
Yeah, yeah. And then there's also been days like I remember not too long ago, I went and had a great workout. And I remember Braden even commented. He's like, you had a good one today. Because, you know, like, I'm not getting stronger, right? I'm just like, if I can maintain my weights and my reps, I'm very happy, right?
Yeah.
He was like, you had a good one today. Like, you really smoked it. It was chest. And I was like, yeah, thanks. You know, like, because he's the one who's getting bigger and stronger, right? And I got home and I saw my pre-workout was sitting on the counter.
Still full.
I forgot to drink it. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I still got it, you know?
Yeah.
Still turn it on when I got to turn it on, you know? So.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, underrated. That's a classic Kurt Russell. I got to watch that movie again.
It's been a long time since I even thought that movie.
Kurt Russell made a whole bunch of great 80s movies that were kind of wild and off the wall. And Big Trouble in Little China was one of them. It's a wacky movie. I gotta watch that again.
Yeah.
Remember, and then another one was Escape from New York. Remember Escape from New York?
Oh, yeah.
The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing, the original, or the original remake of The Thing in 1980. Kurt Russell stars in The Thing, which was like a 50s movie, I believe. But they remade it, and it's still one of the best horror movies ever. And they tried to remake it in like the 2010s with, I think, a female lead.
Yeah.
And I never watched it. I heard it was all right. But there's nothing compares to that 1980 The Thing. But yeah, Kurt Russell had a bunch of great movies in the 80s.
You know what? If we could get away with it and we had the like hour and a half or whatever, 2 hours to watch a movie, I absolutely guarantee you that the people who watch our show would tune in for a watch party and hang out with us to watch Big Trouble in Little China like on a live stream. Oh. Like I said, I don't know if we get away with that, but like I could totally see people tuning in. Yeah.
We could somehow flip the screen like a mirror image.
Man, they'll never know.
See if they don't catch it, you know, the bots just
backwards.
Change the pitch just a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Dusty, I got one for you. You lead us on this one. Iris Kyle. You never hear anyone talk about her anymore. She's the most decorated Olympian ever.
Well, it's impossible to be correct with this, but she's underrated just because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Like when she was competing, it was a battle for second.
Yeah.
Simple. You know? So I think that's an obvious answer to me. She was unbelievable. Still is, actually. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was essentially the Ronnie Coleman of female bodybuilding.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I remember in like 2002 or 2003 when the Olympia was still at the Mandalay Bay.
Oh, the good old days.
Was it the 03 or 02? I think it was Mandalay. It might have been, where did they move it after? What was the other one? Orleans. It might have been that one.
03 was the Orleans, so.
Was it?
Yes.
No, it was Mandalay. It was still Mandalay, I'm pretty sure. But no, anyways, I remember seeing her, I think it was like the day after the O. And her and some of her friends were wearing like nice dresses, like pretty dresses. Yeah. And they were eating in the restaurant.
And then they were walking. I just happened to leave when they left. And I just remember walking behind her and looking at her back and just being like, oh my God. Like, I could not believe how she looked up close. Oh, it was the Orleans. It would have been like, I'm just looking at her years here. It would have been like 04, 06 or something like that. But it was just the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I'd never seen a female bodybuilder at that level. It blew me away, completely blew me away. But yeah, she's underrated. If she's not getting standing ovations at bodybuilding shows, she's underrated.
Yeah. Here's what my thought is that she proves how fast the turnover is in bodybuilding, like how quick people are to forget. Like, if you didn't just win the Olympia last year, they're like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I don't even know who that is anymore. And I don't know if it's because there's so many new fans that come into the sport. I think anybody who was around, like, 10 years ago would be totally impressed and still remember how great Iris was. But I wonder if like some of the newer people like really even know much about her reign,
I just looked her up. She's 01 heavyweight only. Remember when they split it for a little while?
Yeah.
That way it was the short-haired lady that won the other one, Juliet.
Yeah. And then 04, she won the overall Olympia because she won heavyweight and overall. And then she won 06, 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Underrated.
All right. Diuretics. Are diuretics overrated?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say completely underrated, guys.
I love it.
I'm serious too. I'm honest. And here's why. Because every coach today is saying, oh, I never use diuretics and blah, blah, blah. You don't need them if you do it right and blah, blah, blah. I'm totally with that, and I can literally count on my hand how many times we've used like a quarter of a diazide or half a diazide at most, like if nothing at all over the past few years. But that said, if you need a diuretic, it is definitely not overrated. Right.
If you need it, it's underrated.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I get what you're saying. I think the reason I would say overrated is I still think there's a lot of people that go, oh, I just got some water left to drop.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I just got a bit of water left to drop. I'm like, no,
yeah.
That's not what that is. Yeah. And, I can think of some times where I've seen miracles happen with diuretics.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen been a miracle. Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it happen to myself. I remember waking up. I remember my coach told me, take this. And I remember waking and I'm feeling like, I look pretty good, but I don't look the way I was hoping. And then waking up the next morning and just being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I am completely sucked in and still full looking like everything just perfectly, the roulette wheel just boom, right where I wanted it. But there's also a lot of misses and there's a lot of like, lottery and there's a lot of people overdo it and yeah
you should have seen me the day after.
Yeah. I think it's I say it's overrated because I think inexperienced people get it with the intention of using it,
yeah,
no matter what. And I tell all of my clients who are enhanced and I'm like, get it, and then we decide if they're going to use it. And if I'm being really honest, the smaller they are, the lower the odds we use it. Because my room for error is much lower. And I'm like, Chris said this to me years ago. I like to say he taught it to me, but he wasn't telling me as a coach to coach, but just as a client. He's like, we shoot for 100 and we miss. We got 80. You come in at 95, I think you can beat everybody.
Yep. That's definitely how Chris thinks.
Yeah. Yep. I've heard him say that before.
I think that's why I say it's overrated because, I just had a guy a couple of weeks ago. He's like, I couldn't get it. I'm like, I don't think we were going to need it anyways.
Yeah.
And I was like, and going in, if I know you don't have it, I can manipulate your water anyways. I'm not saying I can make it equal because if I could nail it identical every time, I would never tell anyone to get one.
Right.
But when you can't get it, I'm not like, oh my God. The whole show is over. I'm like, oh, we're fine. It's just going to change how we approach the last couple of weeks. Coming in,
and the
amount of water I'm about to make you drink for a little while, and we'll be fine.
I will say that the old days, like I remember the 90s, And I remember the early 2000s, we used a lot more diuretics. It was a lot more going on. Like, we used to use aldactone and diazide together all the time. But then there was all this management of everything else you had to do because you didn't want to go flat. Like this constant monitoring of every single moment of the rest of the night just to like make sure you, you know, didn't disappear into nothing. And it's a lot of stress and it turns the whole process into this giant crazy machine, you know? Yep. So that's my thoughts.
In that era on the message boards, Palumbo had put out his protocol and my coach in the, like a couple guys, my coach and his best friend, they were both like national guys. They kind of influenced me because they were doing the things Dave did, you know? And the protocol, so I'm not telling you guys any secrets of Dave's, he had like a half a diazide at 6 p.m., half a diazide at 9 p.m., half a diazide at midnight, then a half a diazide at 9 a.m. You know, so there was like half a diazide four or five times. And that was like you said, Ron, that was a lot more use. That was just like the standard. You, whether you needed it or not, like, oh, this is what we do. We cut the water. We start at 3 gallons. We end up at no gallons. Mm-hmm. We take the diazide and then eat a burger. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've told the story about Nasser before, what Nasser said to me when I was in his hotel room at a guest posing, and he had gotten second at the 97 Olympia. So he was like that version of Nasser, right?
Yeah.
And I said, like, and he looked amazing at that show, right? And I said, well, what do you do to drop water? And I was just expecting this, like, okay, 9 p.m., you know, like 11:59, you know, and then this and that. Like, I was expecting something like that. And he goes, I eat, you know, a lot of carbs until I spill. And then I take some Lasix.
And they stopped talking.
And I was like, oh.
Okay. Less scientific than I expected. Got it.
He goes, you get so full that you spill, and then you just pull water and go to bed.
Yeah. I think it was, I think Chris said it on our show. He was like, you know, because he was talking about like drying somebody out and they can't get dry. He's like, if you stop watering a plant, it'll die. Like, if you stop giving somebody water, they're going to dry out eventually.
Yeah. 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 He said, yeah, if someone can't get diuretics, I'm like, well, just stop drinking. You know,
the rest will take care of itself.
All right. Waist trimmers is the term here. Waist trimmers, overrated?
I'm sure he means trainers.
Probably.
Yeah. I think they're overrated. I had this argument with people and I'm like, I come from an era where like, it's, I just, you know, Sean Ray wearing a waist trainer.
Come on. Yeah.
All right, you know? I agree.
And I also think that waist trainers can cause a lot of problems because you can wind up some people. One of the mistakes is if they wear a waist trainer all the time, they get a really weak core.
Yeah.
And nothing in their core is firing properly or strong enough to handle anything. And then you have like, you know, certain people are anomalies, you know, like my training partner, he wears a belt on like arm day. And then he doesn't wear a belt when he squats 5 plates.
It's really so, for fashion.
It's funny. You know what I mean? So like, obviously his core is not weak because he's like super strong. It does, you know, stiff leg deadlifts with 200-pound dumbbells with no belt, but he'll wear a belt when he shoulder presses overhead. So like, you gotta, if you're going to wear a waist trainer or you're going to go down that road or anything like that, or you're going to wear a belt all the time to try to make your waist small or anything like that, make sure you don't allow yourself to get a pathetically weak core, because that's one of the mistakes, I think.
Yeah.
And I've had some serious lower back issues over the years. And the solution was to take my belt off for like a couple months and just make sure my core was strong. You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, just the quick thing is, rather than go through all that, transverse abdominal work. If you want to keep your waist down, just train it to do that. I mean, you know, that's just, I don't know why that's not brought into thoughts more often. And I assume it's because it requires you to do something more than put on something and live your life. But if you could do 5 minutes of transverse abdominal work twice a day, trust me, you're going to bring your waist down.
Yeah. I think if, you know, if someone wants a small waist and they're like, hey, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do transverse abdominal work, practice my vacuums, train my abs, make sure I have a strong core, you know, not rely on a belt to like do most of my stuff, and then wear a waist trainer. I would say the least important thing there is the waist trainer.
Yep. Agreed.
All right.
Got Scott.
We've got, here's one for both of you guys. You have a lot of experience with this. Being an athlete at the booth during an expo, is it overrated or underrated besides the fact that you get paid?
Oh, I think it's underrated.
Yeah,
because it's underrated. There's nothing better than meeting, and not even just fans. I mean, you meet people that have no idea who you are, but yeah. Meeting people who like have the same passion, that like what you do. I mean, why do people go to car shows that didn't drive a car to show off? Like, because they love cars and they want to talk to other people that love cars. I mean, I feel like when we leave an expo, and I've actually had people say this, so it's pretty safe, but they're like, you know, I really liked you guys on the podcast, but so much more now.
Yeah.
Because you get 5 minutes with them to just chat.
It's such a huge opportunity to engage with a lot of different people. And you know, I think that in life, we don't all feel like going out. Like, how often do you want to go to the mall and talk to 200 strangers, Scott?
Yeah,
like, not every day. No one feels like doing that, right? So there's a lot of times you're like, oh, I got to go to the booth today. It's going to be a hard day. But it's such a privilege. Yeah. Because, like, you know, you get all those engagements with people, and there'll be conversations that just blow you away. Like, you know, guys come up to me and say, man, I opened a gym because of your show. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then, like, yeah. I get to talk to them about, and I'm thinking, like, man, you know, I can't imagine not being able to do this. Like, you know, that would suck, you know? Yeah. Or you talk to some guy brings his little kid by, and they don't really know who you are, but you get to make this impression on a little kid, and, you know, he points at Dusty's arm, and Dusty flexes his arm, and that little kid's eyes get huge, and he wants a picture with Jamie and us, and you just think, like, this is awesome. This is, like, such a positive thing that we get to do, and... It's just fun. You get to see everybody. Like, you know, I see Jay Cutler more than I see some of my relatives.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, people like that, you just think, like, you get to do all that stuff. And let's be honest, at this stage, if I wasn't getting paid to go to expos, I probably wouldn't go to expos.
Mm, true.
Because then you're just walking around, your feet hurt, and you're like, I got to get out of here. You know?
We're old.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. Totally underrated. Every chance that I've had to go, especially like the last few years with Mutant, I feel like I won some sort of lotto or something, just getting to hang out and get to meet people. Cause I know what it's like from the other side of the booth too. And it's cool. Cause like you said, we get to connect to everybody. The only thing I would say, like the only thing that I had not a problem with, the only conflict I had was at the last time setting everything up. I didn't get a chance to talk to as many people. There were people that came up and they're like, I got messages where people are like, oh, I saw you were really busy with the wires and stuff. Well, so I didn't want to bother you. Yeah, there was that. And then there were people that wanted to talk, but I was like, oh, can you come back a little later? You know, because I was like, we were starting a podcast real shortly and I still needed to get things set up. You know what I mean? So it was tough. Don't.
No, we don't know what you mean. Oh, we've never set up anything at a booth. We just stand there. I'll be like, I'm going to get a quick drink. Stand right here. I mean, that's about as far as I got.
Yeah. Dusty, sit right here for a minute so I can frame this up. Very good. Good job. Yeah. All right. Let me see what else we have here. We did diuretics. There are so many of them here. We aren't going to get to them all, so I'm trying to find a good one. Oh, freaking kids. Guns? Oh, we know that here. Dorian Salmon.
Oh, boy. I already know who asked this. This is so great. Yeah. We're definitely.
Oh, God.
Dorian Salmon, according to Ron, is apparently underrated.
Overrated.
Overrated. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He overrated it. Yeah. I'd still have that. It'd be framed. It's my house. That's my funny. House would smell.
You want this? Nah.
Early 2000s Mexican vet gear. We've got some good ones in here.
Tokyo with two T's.
Yeah. Italian food.
Ooh.
How Italian?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too. Because if you're in the suburbs.
American Italian?
Yeah, it's like all garbage. You get is. Yeah, American Italian.
I overheard a hilarious conversation yesterday, not yesterday, but the other day in the gym. I was standing by the cubbies, kind of like unpacking my stuff. And there's this one dude at the gym. He's a great guy. And he's like totally Italian, right? Very Italian name. And he's talking to a couple of the other regulars. And the one guy's like, yeah, man, we went to Olive Garden. It was awesome. Oh. He goes, have you been to the one, you know, and he like named the neighborhood. And his girlfriend looks at him and she goes, did you just tell an Italian guy to go to Olive Garden? And they all just burst out laughing. And I couldn't help it. I burst out laughing too. I was killing myself because I just thought that's pretty funny. Of all the people to tell, have you been to that new Olive Garden? It was pretty good, man. We had a big meal, ate all the bread I could.
That's unreal. Yeah, that's insulting to an Italian.
How about this one? Here's a good one. Contest prep superstitions. Are they overrated or underrated?
Do they help make you more shredded?
Yeah, there you go. There's that.
Right?
What is a
sometimes contest, a lie? What is a contest prep superstition? What's an example?
Like the brushing your teeth. Not that that would be a bad one. Don't brush your teeth because of the sodium.
Oh, you know, I thought maybe it was like I got, you know, I got my magic cardio shoes and
yeah, I've got like I've got my one hoodie, you know, my certain the zip up hoodie. So you don't get the tan messed up when you, you know, all that. Yeah.
I had Chris do that one time. Actually, I had a day where like, you know, you send the pictures one day, then you send the pictures the next day. And Chris is like, whatever you did yesterday, do the same thing. In fact, wear those clothes again. Yesterday was magic.
Chris is funny. Chris would say that. Wear those same clothes again. It was a good day.
Yeah, it was obviously the clothes.
Dog rescue organizations. They're just setting them up too easy for us.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Come on now.
When do you get your dog, Dusty?
First week of July.
Okay.
The only reason for the pause is actually on my end because we don't want to get her. Oh, nice and nice one. No pun intended. Actually, is because I'm going on a week long trip and I don't want her to be home without me and without under a month of like time to like sit into the new place. So
yeah
it's gonna be a long week. So, like Nikki's show, that's long, but this is quite long. How about getting pictures every day? So. Yes, can't wait.
All right. And we'll finish up on, I guess, hamstring soreness.
Is it underrated or overrated?
I don't know.
Like the importance of, I think, is probably the question. Is it important?
I got to say that I'm a fan of some muscle soreness after you train, the day after you train. I'm a fan of some soreness. I feel psychologically like it makes me feel...
You did something
like
good.
I really connected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It reinforces my exercise mechanics and reinforces that I had some overload, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah.
I like a bit of soreness. It tells me that, you know, I was moving weights, you know, at least using the muscle I'm trying to move.
I feel like these scenarios remind me of actually why I like Lane Norton so much, because I know full well that soreness does not mean it was a better workout. I know that, drove into my head. But when I'm sore one day, the first thing I think to myself is, well, what was I doing for the last 3 weeks when I wasn't this sore?
Yeah.
Must have been slacking off. And I know, but I don't care, because the soreness tells me I annihilate myself. And for anybody who's thinking like, my life is Groundhog Day. So the water is the same. The food is the same. Even now, like if there's any alteration, it's more, it's not less. So there's no reason that I would ever be like, well, it's because I was off. Like, no. So I still say to myself, in spite of science can kiss my ass, it's better if I'm sore. The end. I want to be like the next day when you go up the stairs, like there's some days I tell Nikki, I'm like, I think our stairs got higher this week. Because these are big. These are big steps. You know, and then some weeks I'm like, steps are fine. Damn it.
Yeah, sometimes my dumbbells get lighter in the gym. Some weeks they're just lighter, and other weeks they're a lot heavier.
Yeah. Gravity can do that. It alters all the time. I don't care what
it's a moon thing. It's a moon thing. And
oh, boy. Sun is. Distance from the sun.
Yeah. How fast the earth is spinning that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, everybody. We're not getting into astrology. We're actually normal. Moving forward.
I know we are getting toward the end, guys. I had a thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. Do you mind if I bring this video up? This is from YouTube. I watched this video and I want to watch it with you guys and see what you have to say. Let me click on this and see if I can get, whoops, there we go. Give me just a second here to get this loaded. All right. I'm going to have to reset this. So we're going to do this. Come back here to this. All right. I'm prepared now. So here's the video. Let me just redo this thing. And we got to turn the volume up here. There it is.
For saying she doesn't have enough time and money to really enjoy anything in her life outside of work.
40 hours a week makes me $2,000 a month. And my rent is $1,660. So not only do I not have any extra money, but just working makes me so exhausted that I don't have time either. Like, I get off work at 5:30, come home, I'm just so tired. Anything that I need to do outside of work, I then just push off to like the weekend. And I'm like, I'm just too tired to do this after work. I'll wait until Saturday. So then I end up with so much to do on the weekend that ends up having to be split into 2 days. So I have to do stuff on both Saturday and Sunday.
What this woman is saying is, I'm suffering from a crisis, not just of money and not just of work, but a crisis of meaning. There is a young woman who has gone.
So that was the video. And I look at it, and I'm randomly looking at these videos on YouTube this morning, and then I look at the comments, and everybody was like, yeah, you know, the economy is terrible, and she can't live off of this $16 an hour when her rent is $2,000, and, you know, she's making $1,600, all this. And they were pitying her. And I was like, and I listened to the video, and I don't think the people got the point. And I was like, I want to bring this to Ron and Dusty, and I want to vent for a minute. Because here's my thought: is he said at the end, he was like, she's dealing with these issues, but she's also dealing like with a crisis of not really having like a direction in her life is what I think is going on here. Like, that's what the real problem is. Because I feel like there was a time that I was this girl. Well, not this girl, but I was in this situation.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was a different story. Different story. And but like I was her. I remember one day thinking, oh my God, I finally got a day off. And I'm just like, I can't stand this job. When I first started working for 7-Up, I can't stand this job so much. And like, I would totally break if I had to go to work. And then my work phone rang and they're like, where are you? You were supposed to come in. And I was like, like, I literally, I just remember, like, I lost all sense of hope. Like, but I had to go through all of that to kind of get to where I am today, to be able to, like, get my crap together. This is the way the world is. This is what it means to, like, so number one, you get a roommate, first of all, if you can't afford your rent, you do that, and you split the rent. Now you've automatically got twice as much money, you know, left over, but you figure it out. And you better yourself. And I feel like if people were to have just pitied me and said, oh, the world is so hard and the economy is against you and you're only making $16 an hour. Come on. Like, it really bothered me, because if people treated me like that, I might not have ever changed. If they made me feel like, right. Oh, yeah, you do have a hard time and the world is against you and this is tough, we need to make it easier for you, then I might not have ever picked up and did something different. That's my that's my thing.
Sorry. Yeah. So my take is, so there is definitely a very crappy situation for the younger generation. I mean, I live in Vancouver, where housing prices have gotten like the worst.
I couldn't imagine that
possibly. So like, there is this lack of hope where people are like, I'll never own a home, I'll never this and that. Like, it is really out of control. There's a bunch of things that we've done economically that have been very damaging to the next generation. Not letting the stock market collapse, which is when other people get to enter the stock market, right? The 2008 crash that they allowed to happen to a certain extent, that allowed a lot of people to enter the market, and now they have some equity, and we didn't allow the next crash during the pandemic, so no one could enter the market. There's a bunch of interesting reasons why the economy is terrible for young people. However, having said that, the lack of meaning is the main problem here.
Yeah.
She doesn't have anything in her life. She says she gets off work at 5:30. She works 40 hours a week. Well, I hate to say this, but I worked probably 60 hours a week most of my life. I was always working. Like, I had nonstop things going on that I had to do. And when we opened the gym, I was working up to 80 hours a week for years on end.
That's what I pretty much do now. And I'm happy with it, because I have direction and I love it. Yeah. And I'm working for myself. It's like, yeah. I don't see it as being pity me.
You know, get a roommate, get another job. There has to be something. I mean, first of all, join a community fitness center or something, because taking care of yourself physically is also taking care of yourself mentally. So she can go join a YMCA or something for like some really cheap membership, or Planet Fitness for $9.99 a month or something like that. And she can go work out after work every day. Just doing that will give her a lot more purpose,
yeah,
and a lot more, you know, just clarity and a lot of that stuff that's going on. She says she's so tired after getting off work at 5:30. I don't know what she does for a living, but unless she's shoveling coal all day, she should have enough energy to do something else. And I just, you're right about the pitying. You can't pity people. They gotta get tough.
I only can say that because I was in that exact same position, yeah, and I know what it would have done to me.
I lived out of a gym bag for a couple years. You know what I mean? You gotta be able to get through those tough times, and you gotta be able to keep yourself positive, and you gotta have, like, I always had the gym. What's my purpose today? It's chest day.
Right.
Even if that was my only purpose, was that, yeah, it was chest day. Like, you get through your day a lot better. If I didn't have chest day, it would have been way harder to do those hours and that lifestyle and all that stuff. And it's the lack of meaning. A lot of people have no meaning in their life. And I think no physical fitness is directly tied to mental fitness. And that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Great place to start. So, and if you don't have a side hustle, I don't know what to tell you. Like, everyone should have one. Like, that's just the way of the world.
Yeah. You guys covered like 99.9%. I think the only thing I would add is really simple, which is, like you said, Ron, all of these things for the, you know, the young generation, they're all real. They're all true. But they all have to face it.
Yeah.
So some of you are thriving. Some of you are not. And not all that are thriving had an advantage in the beginning. They just chose to thrive. And I feel like that's something that gets missed. And like you said, it's outlook. What are you doing? You know, if you hate what you're doing, the thing that makes you the $1,600, that's the first step, actually.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to, I mean, this is something I explained to the girls, at their age, 18, coming out of high school. I'm like, do not choose a career based on how much money you're going to make. Huge mistake. If you're going to spend 40, and I'm sorry, but in this day and age, 40 is a part-time job. If you're spending 40 plus hours a week working on something, you shouldn't hate it. It doesn't matter what it pays. I promise. Downgrade your life. Do something you love doing much, much better. Then go from there. And like Ron said, it's like there's a million things. But when I look back at my poorest times, they're still good memories. Because when you don't have much, everything you have has huge value. I mean, I tell the story all the time. My first wife and I, our date nights used to be every Saturday, and we would split one chili cheese fries from Del Taco, and we'd go up the canyon, look out, and talk about what we were working on how to get out of this life, what we were going to do to be able to have more. And I got to be honest with you, $400 dinners don't give me memories like $2 cheese fries. To this day.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, it was good there. Anyways, what are we doing?
Yeah. I remember when I moved to Edmonton with my best friend Scott, which was after I got back from Australia. We like say, let's go to Edmonton, and we're going to like get an apartment and get jobs. And I'm going to train at the Gold's Gym there where all the bodybuilders train. And we'll just start a new life, me and my best buddy. And I didn't have a bed. I slept on the floor. So I had three blankets and a pillow, and I just slept on the floor. And I remember my parents came to visit, like they drove through town like 3 months later, and I was sleeping on the floor. And my mom's like, well, we can at least buy you an air mattress. And I remember that they came back the next day. Yeah, my mom came back the next day and she gave me like an air mattress. And I like pumped it up and I slept on an air mattress for like 3 months. And then the air mattress eventually just popped.
Yeah.
So I slept on the floor again for a little while. And then I got this used mattress. It was just like, it was a mattress you would not, like, it was a used, like basically I knew someone that was throwing it away. And I was like, I'll take that. And I just threw that on the floor in my room and slept on that. It was like, I lived in Edmonton for like over a year before I like got a, you know, cheap, shitty bed.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, And people would be like, you're sleeping on the floor? And I'm like, ah, it's not that bad. You got a pillow, got a couple blankets.
So
we're good.
I wanted to bring that up though. Like I don't want it to be a thing where I'm ridiculing this girl, because no. I want to, or anybody else that feels like they're in that situation. But I do feel like there are a lot of people that do have that hopelessness today. And if any of those people are listening, I wanted to give them hope, because that was me. That was me 100%. Looking back at it, when I quit my day job, which was almost a decade ago now, I was already coaching 90 people, like 90 people on top of my full-time job in order to quit. I saved up my money for a year and I said, I'm going to quit by the end of the year and I'm going to buy a car. I saved all my money for coaching and I was able to put down a huge down payment on a car, basically almost paying for it, and took out a small loan so that I could try to build some credit on top of that it was like small payments every month. And then I was like, and I know I'll have a car, you know, and I'll know I'll be in a good place there where I don't have to, you know, I don't have to worry about that sneaking up on me. But it was like, I did that for several years before I actually branched off and then quit the day job, you know? But I remember being in that exact same place. And so it kind of touched me, but then to see the response she was getting, I don't think it was the response that would drive her to do better. It would be the response to like fall back and just, you know, continue to be in self-pity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that taking care of yourself physically and mentally are the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I like that.
You have to. Like, there's just too much evidence now of what exercise does to us mentally. There's just too much, you know? And so I, you know, anyone who's got, you know, aimlessness in their life or any kind of depression or anything, I'm like, get more physically fit. Start there. Because then you are better. Yeah. Right. You'll be better at everything. Yeah. And your mindset's better at everything. And, you know, achieving a little goal, like, oh, I just got to do 30 minutes today on the treadmill. And then you achieve that 10 times. You're like, oh, like, it's amazing what those little things impact people who don't have them to begin with. Like, you know, she says she's just off work at 5:30 and that's it. And, you know, say how many people just go home and watch TV for like the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's hard for me to have sympathy for people that do that, you know? Yep. Yep. I watch an hour of TV a week, which brings us to our final topic. Let's just quickly tell people, are we watching anything right now that we're loving? Because we are.
Yeah, NHL playoffs. Obviously, I'm Canadian. Okay. actually not, but go ahead.
Scott, are you watching anything great?
We just finished the Guy Ritchie TV show, The Gentleman, and it was amazing. I loved the ending on it. It was so good. Okay. It was a great show. And now we're watching Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay. Is there going to be a season two of The Gentleman, or is it just a limited series?
I hope there is, because they kind of left it open that there definitely could be. I guess it was based off a movie he did, Guy Ritchie did.
And yeah, the movie was great.
Yeah, so it's similar, but like a little bit. Dave Crossland told me that like some of the storyline is a little bit different, but the same general plot line.
Okay, we are watching Shogun.
We started that. We haven't caught on yet, though. Like it hasn't become a thing yet.
How far in are you? Like one episode, or
yeah, one episode.
Okay, that's the setup. Now it's about 50% subtitled because there's a lot of Japanese in it, right? But we completely got over that after one episode. And then once episode two happened, we were like, oh my God. Okay. And we are loving it. It was filmed in Vancouver.
Oh.
And it's a famous book. My mom read the book. I remember my mom being very excited because they made it into a miniseries back in 1980 that was on TV that was very popular. But so this is a redo of the book. It's a limited series, so it's just one season and done. We're almost wrapped. It is spectacular. The acting is unbelievable. And just the whole, I love samurai stuff, like that whole Japanese culture. The year is 1600. So it's like that ancient sword honor culture, you know. It's been fantastic. And I'm not going to say anything about the story, but it's been great. And it's a real epic, giant scope, detailed, historically specific type of series. So I've enjoyed it.
Dave Crossland told me the same thing. So we'll have to get back in. We'll have to keep going to see what we get out of it then.
Yeah. And they're building it. Like, it's a lot has happened, but they still haven't unleashed what's about to happen. Like, it's been a not a slow burn because it's there's been a lot of stuff, but like you could tell they haven't gotten to the big stuff yet. So yeah, we're excited.
There we go.
Okay. And Bruins beat the Leafs.
Yes.
Very happy about that. And it looks like Oilers and Canucks.
Yes.
Head to head in the next round, which will be very interesting because I have a lot of friends and loved ones on each side of that battle now. All my old Edmonton buddies and all my new Vancouver friends.
Isn't it basically if you live within an hour of Vancouver, you're a Vancouver fan? And if you live anywhere else in the country,
you're an Oilers fan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nobody likes the Canucks except for people from Vancouver.
No like, kidding.
They are just loathed everywhere in the country.
It's so true.
Other than Edmonton. Yeah. So like from like an hour west, hour east of Vancouver to the very far coast of Halifax, it's Edmonton. And then just the city of Vancouver cheers for their team. But everyone else hates the Canucks.
You sent Ron was so great that Ron sent us a video and it's a guy watching the TV in a Leafs jersey. And as soon as they lose, he shakes his head, takes his hat off, pulls the Leaf jersey off, and he's wearing an Oilers shirt. And he goes, go Oilers.
Yeah. That was the whole country. The whole country, yeah. So, but I'm a Bruins fan, so we'll see what happens.
There we go.
What about you, Dusty? Who are you actually cheering for?
Well, now, because everyone that I care about, the Wings being the only team, is out, I just go right with Nikki because she's a Panthers girl. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that war starts. They play the Bruins. They start tonight.
Oh, yeah, Bruins. Yeah, you're right. Okay,
they start tonight. And remember, you should remember that because last year they pissed on your hopes and dreams coming back 3-1. Yeah. So, but it'll be interesting. But after watching, actually, my buddy is a huge Rangers fan. So I watched the Rangers and I watched Colorado and I told him, like, it's Colorado and New York for the Stanley Cup, I'm pretty sure. Like, even though it's not who I want, I watched both those teams play and I'm like, and I hate Colorado because obviously Detroit. So
I like the Rangers. We were good, I don't mind the Rangers. You know? I could handle a Rangers Cup win.
If that's what happens, I'm going Rangers all the way. Yeah. So that's that. Now I've pissed off like a whole lot of people, which is awesome.
They made a rule. They made a rule in Vancouver: no public watch parties of any of the playoff games.
Really?
Because the last two times have been all these riots and stuff that have happened in Vancouver. Like when the Bruins beat them in 2011, it was that horrendous riot that was like
cars flipped over.
Like, well, people got killed. That Bruins fan got beat to death. Yeah, that Bruins fan got beat to death in the street. Crazy. Yeah, and a lot of people got arrested, and they had that huge sweep where they were looking through all the cameras in the city and trying to get as many faces as they could. And it was like for like years afterwards, they were arresting people.
Huh. I didn't think that kind of thing happened in Canada.
Yeah. Well, technically, Vancouver is Seattle, so it's
basically. Oh, there's that. Seattle North.
Seattle North.
Let's be straight here with what's going on.
Yeah. And let's be honest, it wasn't very, you know, it was like all the kids from the suburbs that were just in town for the games. It was like everyone was super upset about it. But so we'll see what happens. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Remember to like, share, subscribe, comment, and
ring the bell.
Ring the bell. Remember, imute.com, Dusty20, Big Ron 20. Go to imute.com, get your ice surge, get your all in, and everyone should get on the gear. And remember, the Patreon, Think Big Bodybuilding, keep a producer homed.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for watching the React videos. I know you audio listeners have to actually go to YouTube to watch those. They are worth it. They're a ton of fun. The Branch and Johnny one was a lot of fun. That one's doing well. And cheers to everybody. And remember, it's just bodybuilding.